and welcome to My Career in Data, a podcast where we discuss with industry leaders and experts how they have built their careers. I'm your host, Shannon Kemp, and today we're talking to Kiyomi Soledad Spriesterbach from Lufthansa Group.
With a robust catalog of courses offered on demand and industry-leading live online sessions throughout the year, the Dataversity Training Center is your launchpad for career success. Browse the complete catalog at training.dataversity.net and use code DVTalks for 20% off your purchase.
Hello and welcome. My name is Shannon Kemp and I'm the Chief Digital Officer at Dataversity. And this is My Career in Data, a Dataversity Talks podcast dedicated to learning from those who have careers in data management to understand how they got there and to talk with people who can make those careers a little bit easier. To keep up to date in the latest in data management education, go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Today, we are joined by Kiyomi Soledad Spriesterbach, the head of data quality and governance from Lufthansa Group. And normally, this is where a podcast host would read a short bio of the guest, but in this podcast, your bio is what we're here to talk about. Kiyomi, hello and welcome.
Hi, Shannon. Good to speak to you.
Likewise. So tell me, okay, so you're the head of data quality and governance at Lufthansa Group. So tell me, what type of business is Lufthansa Group?
So Lufthansa Group is a big aviation group that is operating worldwide. Most known brand, I think, is Lufthansa Airlines. But this is not all what is Lufthansa Group. So Lufthansa Airlines obviously makes the biggest part of it. And Lufthansa Airlines is one area of Lufthansa Group, which is the passenger airlines, where also other brands are, like maybe known Swiss International Airlines, Austrian Airlines, Brussels Airlines, with a big hubs in Frankfurt, Munich, Zurich, Vienna, and Brussels. So more or less in Central Europe. And some other airlines that also form the passenger airlines. Then we have in the aviation area, a big area that is maintenance, repair, and overhaul with Lufthansa Technik, also a brand that is quite known worldwide. Then we have aviation training, IT services, and some other smaller companies. And it's overall like 97,000 employees worldwide. So quite a big group.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things I love about doing this podcast is I learn so much about different companies. Like learning that Lufthansa Airline is owned by Lufthansa Group. I mean, it's just fascinating to hear how many different brands that Lufthansa Group owns is really, really interesting. So tell me, as the head of data quality and governance, what is it that you do?
So I'm doing, data quality governance, as the name says. It's a big transformation program, actually, that we have running at Lufthansa Group. With my team, we're trying to get data governance everywhere into the Lufthansa Group. It's sometimes not easy because the understanding about what data governance is good for is not easy, especially because governance always sounds like, ooh, there is someone like police coming up. They want to slow me down. They are hindering me from doing proper work. But actually, it's the opposite. Because what we are doing is to make working with data more efficient and effective. And especially because I'm in the lucky position that I don't need to take care about data protection. There we have another department for. I don't have to take care about IT security, nor do I have to take care about information security. So really it's for me like the fun part. So really make working with data enjoyable. And given the complex structure of Lufthansa Group, we decided to set up a federated data governance, which is also one of the pillars of data mesh. So with my team, we set standard and guidelines on a group level, quite generic, to also be able to host the different business models we have. As I told you, we have like Technik, we have the airlines, they have quite different business models. And yes, they all have to do data governance and to be able to have them under one umbrella. This is what we're taking care of so that we don't define standards that are too specific for one area, so that the different data governance officers, we call them, in the different areas can take our standards, adopt them, and give them a local flavor, and then starting implement this.
Oh, that definitely sounds like a challenge, and not a small project by any means. So, how then do you work with data in your job day to day?
So we don't really work with the data itself. So we're more interested in the metadata, so data about data, getting all the information, because often is it's the case that you know that data exists somewhere, but you don't know what exactly the content is. You find data or data asset that looks like, oh, this one could be helpful for my use case, but you don't know what's actually in, or how do I have to interpret the columns? The column names are cryptic. There is no proper description. You don't have a data owner on the business side mostly, because data is understood as to be something that IT takes care of. Well, no, it's not. It's has to be a shared task between business and IT. So also one of our main purposes is to build the bridge between business and IT. And that's why I also say it's important to start from the right way. So it's not the technology that is guiding, but it's the people. So you need to start by the people to have them also convinced of this exercise. Then you need to establish proper processes. And then lastly, if you have the processes in place, then you look for the appropriate tools to support your processes and not the other way around. Because if you start with like, oh, here, this provider offers you a quite fancy tool, and then you design the processes around this tool, this might not be appropriate for your company because every company has different prerequisites in terms of organization, culture, and so. So this is something very important. It's first people, then processes, then technology.
You are preaching to the choir, I am sure, in terms of our community. You mentioned a couple of things that our community all constantly struggles with. And you're right on point, like mentioning that it's about people, and struggling to get people to understand that governance is not a bad word. It's not a hindrance. It's actually helpful to productivity. And you also mentioned the stereotype that data is the responsibility of IT. Is there a best practice you learned to help communicate those things? Is it just constant education? Like, how do you tackle those two challenges?
So definitely constant communication, education. This is something, as I said, it's a transformation program. It's not like a project where you have a definite start and end. It's something that is has to continue be continuously brought for, or driven forward. And on the other side, I found it quite helpful to look for allies. So who has already understood what it is about in data governance? And then make them your ambassadors and go forward with them. So the more people understand what it is about, the more other colleagues you found that help you to spread the word, the more into the organization you will get. So it's always again a thing of collaboration. It's nothing you can do on your own. You really have to find like and create this data governance community. Sometimes it also helps maybe not to use the G word, maybe speak about data excellence, data value, use other words that are more like fancy, or sometimes even use other trends to support you. AI at the moment is a big hype, I would say. And everybody jumps on that one and forgets about the basics. And data governance is one of them. So also what I'm trying to do is then to find these things that can give me some tailwind, actually. And so I'm saying as a also proverb that I developed is AI without proper data governance is like bread without salt. It simply doesn't work. It doesn't taste. So find always also nice stories, as we spoke. It's about people, so you need to create stories and get them engaged in into this topic.
That's some great advice. Okay, well, let's back it up a little bit and let's talk about how you got into this role. So Kiyomi, when you were very young, just say 6 years old, what was the dream? Was this the dream that I'm going to grow up and be the head of data quality and governance? Or what was the dream?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. Actually, I did not have like a childhood dream of a career. So I had different ideas like, oh, maybe I could go in into medicine. I'd like that one. Or maybe become a teacher. Or I had several ideas, but nothing concrete, to be honest. And when I was a child, data was also not that topic yet. So this came later. And when I now look back at my professional career, somehow I feel, okay, I had to end here. So looking back, it feels like, okay, there is it's a story how I can set it up. But yes, to be honest, when I started, I had no idea I would end here. But I knew always, or I had the confidence that somehow the jobs that are made for me would find me. And that's how it happened, actually.
Yeah, I love that. So, well, then as you grow older, continue through your education, was there something that started to stick that became a passion that you started to really just follow in your studies?
So at school, I had two favorite things that I, so, yeah, two areas that I liked. So one is languages, and the other one is mathematics. And then one could think of by like, okay, how do they come together? And in the end, I found out that what fascinates me in languages is not like, okay, the nice poems or so. I don't understand poems, to be honest, but I like the syntax of languages, so and understand patterns. And mathematics is also about patterns and logical thinking and all that. And so I started actually my career as a systems engineer doing programming. So they also need your logical brain, and programming is about languages, isn't it?
It is.
So this is how I could a bit combine my two interests. And after a few years in the programming area, I felt, okay, I need to learn more about the business side because I always got like requirements, okay, please program this, please program that. And I missed a little bit the business background. So also then I did another education in information management, and having this background then was kind of also going into the direction of bridging between business and IT. And so I found my role always in areas. So I did hold several positions in network management and ground operations within Lufthansa Group. So I changed jobs during the course of time. And all these positions actually were like building bridges between business and IT, and data was also somehow involved. And I, from job to job, I got more into data. And then in the end, when this job was posted, I said, "Well, that's the one for me." So you see, that job found me.
Oh, that is fascinating. So, I want to go back quite a bit. You said you were interested in languages, and we were talking a little bit before we in the pre-show. You speak how many languages?
Oh, a few ones. So I was educated bilingual with German and Spanish. I speak English, obviously. Well, quite well French, a little bit of Italian, a little bit of Turkish. And I like also to learn a little bit of languages where I visit the countries from. So as Europe has the advantage of having very small countries with so many different languages, This is really the right area for me to move around.
Visit dataversity.net and expand your knowledge with thousands of articles and blogs written by industry experts, plus free live and on-demand webinars covering the complete data management spectrum. While you're there, subscribe to the weekly newsletter so you'll never miss a beat.
Very nice. Yeah, and I love that you really associate engineering with language. That is so very true. In development and coding. So when you were transitioning to Lufthansa Group and you found the job, you know, what made you want to change careers, and what really was stood out to you in that job that made you say, hey, this is for me?
So really when working with data, yes, I felt all the struggle that people usually feel. So, okay, where are the data I need? Is the data in the right quality? Or no, data is not in the right quality. There's some data is missing. People don't know how to use properly the data. There is no documentation of data. Then these big data warehouses that developed at a certain point, they really became big warehouse, but without any logic. So it's not like you knew where to find stuff. I remember that once I had a conversation with a colleague, and I told him, like, okay, listen, in this area I'm missing some data. Could you please give me a comprehensive list what's in the warehouse? And this colleague told me, well, tell me what you need and I will search if it's there. And I think, like, okay, well, this is not the right approach. So documentation of data should start when you think about creating data. Then you should also think immediately of the ownership. You should think about what appropriate quality measures are. This all I had in mind when I was working with data. And as I said, when this job posting was out, it's about 3.5 years ago. And I said, like, ooh, okay, now they're looking for someone to set these standards and guidelines, and then it had to be me.
I love that. So, I find that, especially with people who have gravitated towards data governance jobs, that passion of organization and is just, you know, there, and that passion for data. And I also love too that data quality is first in your job title before governance. Sometimes, so often it's the other way around. Just that emphasis. So tell me then, what's been your biggest lesson so far in your career?
So I think the biggest lesson, maybe it's that sometimes you need to take a step backward before you can move 2 steps forwards. So I also had 1 or 2 jobs where I had the feeling, oh, these are the ones that I would like to do. Then I committed to this, and then I realized, no, that's not the right thing. And then to admit, okay, here I maybe took the wrong way, and then go back and then start again. So don't be afraid to admit that it's not always like forward, forward, forward. Sometimes it's also a step back, and then you can accelerate. And so also have the tranquility and then confidence that things in the end will end well.
Oh, that's a great, great lesson. I think that's one that I'm constantly relearning. Indeed. So then tell me, you know, with this passion for data, what is your definition of data?
So for me, data, basically, it's a collection of facts. Maybe it's raw data, maybe it's structured data, maybe it's unorganized data. So it can happen and appear in many different ways. But data alone does not really help. Because if you have data, like let's say like we have a date and then it says 1st of January 2000, what does it tell you? So it's important that you put it in a context. So is this date value to collect birthdays? Is it to collect like the booking date of your flight? Only this then helps you. So data alone is not helpful. You need to enhance it to convert it into information and then to then in the end also generate knowledge from it. But it's a very important building block, and this building block has to have, as we spoke earlier, the right quality. It's not always that you need to aim for 100%, because sometimes also 80% might be okay depending on the use case. So you need to be very specific on what you're talking about. Nevertheless, always take care that your data is proper, because otherwise it's garbage in, garbage out. This old saying is still true. And especially then also taking again speaking about the AI hype happening at the moment. You can have the fanciest AI models, large language models whatsoever. If the underlying data is not in the appropriate quality, then your model will also generate rubbish. And then this doesn't help anyone.
Agreed. Oh my gosh, yes. And so many people miss that step. The
Absolutely. That's why whenever I can convey this message, I try to.
I love it. So, do you see then the importance of data management and the number of jobs working with data increasing or decreasing over the next 10 years, and why?
I think they still need to increase, because I'm also in conversation with data management people from other companies, and they're all struggling in the same thing. So there is no company that can say, oh, we have the perfect data management. They all have some deficiencies. And as we create more and more data, it's even also important not to focus on creating proper data, but also maybe retiring data. Outdated data that is no longer needed, should also be archived, deleted, whatever the correct way is. So your thing is that you should have a look at the complete data life cycle. So it starts when you plan data, but also don't forget the last step in retiring. And also speaking about sustainability in that point of view, if we generate more and more data, we're not speaking about giga, we're not speaking about tera, we're speaking about exa and whatever the next extension is of data. Every day, so much data is generated. And in the end, this data is not, well, for us, it feels like it's in the cloud, so we don't see it. But actually, you need a physical data storage somewhere in the world. This one is generating heat, consuming power. Well, why don't not deleting some data once in a while, saving CO2 emissions in the end and saving our planet. So data is not the solution to everything, but can also help. And we should, see, as I said, the whole data life cycle. So from the beginning to the end. Don't forget also to retire your data. And to manage all this, I think we will need people also in the future. As long as data is what is driving us, we will need people in data management.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's the first time that it's been brought up about retiring your data. I agree. That's so important. We don't need to hoard data and keep it forever because it does
Yeah, I mean,
become
you're.
obsolete. Yeah.
Yes, I mean your home, you also clean it up and throw away, okay, newspapers, maybe you read on e-paper nowadays, but previously you threw away old newspapers. That's what we also should do with data that we don't need anymore. We are a bit cautious, I think, sometimes because, oh, we might be needing it. Well, we also threw away the newspaper and we're
Yeah.
still alive.
Right. But you're so right. We don't think about it, the where it's being stored, because we can't see it, but it is, there is a physicality to it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we underestimate how much energy we're consuming with this all this data thing. So I yeah.
Oh, yeah, very, very true. So then, what advice would you give to people who are looking to get into a career in data management?
First of all, don't think about data being something IT. Of course, you have like techie jobs, like a data engineer or a data architect. But there's many, many opportunities to do data with a business relation and also stuff that at the first sight sounds a bit boring, like data governance. They can be really, really fun. What I most like about data governance, for instance, is that I can sneak around in any area of the company. So I can set up my network very, very broad. Before in my jobs, when I was in network management, I had contact with network management people and ground operations with ground operations people. It was also a nice environment, of course. But now I'm open to speak up to anyone. So this is really something that I appreciate very much in data, that it's not focused on one specific area. It's so broad and you have so much to choose from. So depending on your interests, just open your eyes and yeah, don't think that data is IT.
Very
It's not.
important. Yeah, there's so many, like you mentioned, there's so many different ways to go, technical, non-technical. There's so many different ways to work with data.
Yeah.
It
So yeah,
is.
I mean, a data scientist, of course, is more on the technical side, but doing data analysis, data visualization, then you're more into the business analyst. Everybody basically today is working to some extent with data. So yeah, don't be afraid, like, oh no, I'm not the data person. I think everybody is.
I agree. Kiyomi, this has been such a pleasure to chat with you and get to know you. Let me know. So if somebody was interested in learning more about Lufthansa Group, where would they go?
Well, so first, lufthansagroup.com. There is a link also to our career site. So if you want to apply for jobs, we always have lots of jobs and also in the data area. So always generate there. Yeah, so to get an overview on Lufthansa Group, and from there, you can also then deviate to the different group companies. So I would suggest lufthansagroup.com as a first step and then take it from there.
Oh, very nice. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was really fun talking to you. It was a
Likewise.
pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you. And to all of our listeners out there, if you'd like to keep up to date in the latest in podcasts and in the latest in data management education, you may go to dataversity.net/subscribe. Until next time, stay curious, everyone. Thank you for listening to Dataversity Talks, a podcast brought to you by Dataversity. Subscribe to our newsletter for podcast updates and information about our free educational webinars at dataversity.net/subscribe.